I mean, and there wasn't any singing, by the way, by Tottenham fans inside the stadium. There was some outside, and there was one dick in the toilets
Yeah.
there was one dick in the toilet. There was loads of dicks in the toilet, actually.
Football show.
Hello everybody, my name's James. Welcome to the final Premier League Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents of the season. And firstly, I'd like to introduce you to a man who probably just can't wait for this season to finish. It's our Sheffield United correspondent, Ben Tomo Thompson. How are you, Tomo?
Doing good. I've made it to the last game, finally.
Well done, mate. We're proud of you. And someone else who also probably actually secretly can't wait for the season to finish either. It's our Tottenham Hotspur correspondent, Ricky Saunders. How are you, Ricky?
I'm all good. I'm all good. How are you?
I'm well, pal. You know very well how I am. Tomo, how do we feel now we've hit the end?
We're relieved, I guess, probably. Just glad it's over. I'll have to watch us get battered one more time.
How does this compare to 3 years ago and the COVID season? Because you knew for pretty much all of that season you were going to go down. And it's felt like that for obviously the majority of this season as well.
Yeah. And I kind of look back last week on those results, and every game we had that season was one goal in it.
Yeah.
It was 1-0, 2-1, they were close. I remember there was a lot of kind of things that went against us and stuff. And I think we ended up 25 points, was that right? 23, 25 points, something in that range.
Better than people were expecting, because you didn't win till January, I don't think.
We didn't win till January. And then, but yeah, we had a bit of a fluster at the end of the season. But yeah, no, I felt we were competitive somewhat. We just got obviously some signings wrong and COVID. But this season is 1,000 times worse than that season. It really is.
There's a statistic you know is not going to go away, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it's on my timeline. 101 Dalmatians, that could be on my timeline.
Well, I mean, the only chance you've got of it staying at 101 Dalmatians is Dr. Tottenham will see you now. Might give you half a chance of sticking on 101 that gets worse. Leicester City have the worst ever top flight goals conceded in a 38-game season. It's 102.
Okay.
You need two more conceded to beat that. I will give you some solace. It's nowhere near the most ever conceded. That's Blackpool, remarkably, in a 42-game season was 125. I don't think you'll hit that, Tomo.
I hope not.
or we really all should be captain Heung-Min Son on Sunday. Ricky, how do we feel about Tottenham? And before we talk to some of the recent circus, how do we just feel about the season that's coming to a close?
It's a difficult one. We, at the start of the season, if you'd have given me this, brilliant. Well, you know, what progress. And it is progress. It's disappointing how the season has tailed off. The performances of the team, the way we've played, some individual performances as well. It is a real disappointment after such a promising start. But I will not be unhappy with fifth or even sixth if it doesn't go our way. That's progress on and off the pitch.
Would you take that sixth now? I don't think you would you?
Well, no, right now, of course I wouldn't, no. Start of the season, yeah, I'd have taken sixth. Absolutely.
Okay. So, where do we go next for Sheffield United? What's the feeling for, because I mean, you would have presumably been looking towards next season for a while. Is there excitement about going into a division where you're clearly going to win more games, or is there a fear that it will get worse? There's teams that come straight back up, and there's, you know, Huddersfield is a good example of a club that's not a million miles away from you, who struggled, nearly got back up, and has now gone down into League One. I'm guessing from previous conversations we've had about the financial situation at the club, there's possibly a little bit of fear.
Yeah, there is. I'm kind of torn with this whole situation, because you know, we got the parachute payments. We didn't spend any money this season, future money, like we did last time, where we had Burge and Brewster, and we got those payments we had to pay the following seasons. So at least we've got that taken care of. We are literally getting rid of everybody that's on a contract, that's big contract. So it's not like we're going down with players that don't want to be there on 50, 60, 70 grand a week, 40 grand a week, 30 grand a week, whatever. So that's, I think that's a positive But then at the same time, we're rebuilding an entire team from scratch and everything's on Wilder, right? We don't really have a structure. Basically, Wilder's doing like a Ferguson where he's in charge of everything at the club, every decision. So we're banking on that Wilder's going to be able to do the rebuild. And, I'm kind of torn with it because obviously he's given me the best 3, 4 seasons of my life. Then we had the lull and he's come back and usually the second time's not as good as the first time. So I don't know. I'm kind of nervous, I would say, probably mostly right now.
Is that clear that he'll be in charge next year, Chris Wilder? Is there any doubt on that at this moment?
Yeah, he's in charge and he's brought the two recruitment guys and his friends. So yeah, we're all in, I think.
The two recruitment guys who are his friends.
Yeah, I forgot what the names are, but yeah, basically he's got past relationship. One guy from Everton. But yeah, he has strong ties with the two guys who brought him for the new recruitment.
How would you feel now if there was a change? If the prince said, nah, sod it, that didn't work either, let's change it. How would you feel
Wrong
this
this.
time? Because I know obviously the club has a great relationship and they love him and stuff. But it wouldn't feel like it felt when he went the first time, would it?
Oh no, not at all. It's the wrong time. If we were going to make a change, we did it when we brought him in for this time after Heckenbottom. So, I think we're all in at this point. I can't see him changing it unless we have a horrendous start first half of this next season. But I think this is a make or break for Wilder too, because if he doesn't do well now, does he get another job after this? I'm not sure.
Probably hasn't lit anything on flame since his first spell with you, mate.
Yeah, it's Watford, Middlesbrough. Yeah, it's not gone great. So, yeah. So I think he's and he gets it. He gets the club. And to be honest, we could have had Pep and Klopp and Big Ange all in charge for us this season. No one was getting us staying us up with
Yeah,
that
Big
squad.
Ange,
Let's be honest.
you'd have conceded more than that Blackpool team if you had Big Ange, mate. Ricky, thoughts on Sheffield United?
They've been in a difficult position. They weren't really given funds to strengthen when they come up, and it was always going to be a tough task from there. A little bit of chaos in the back row, but it's, I'll just say, giving his friends a job. That never works in top level football. Not unless your friends are already high class operators. But yeah, it was always difficult. I'm not sorry, Tomo. I'm not surprised to see where they are. If I'm being honest, it was still a championship squad playing Premier League games with very little, if any, financial support and players coming in. But I do well. I don't worry for Sheffield United next year, but I don't know that you're going to have any going to be any stronger next year. It's a really difficult league, the Championship. We've seen other teams really struggle to get out, and I don't even know if United are equipped to get out of that league at the moment.
It's interesting now. I mean, maybe partly because of what came up with you, Tom. I mean, particularly Luton and their resources as well. I was looking back on the correspondent predictions from pre-season. Only five of the guys thought you'd finish bottom. And not everyone thought you would go down. It was a majority, but not everyone.
I mean, I think we did the predictions before we lost Burge and Ndiaye, if I remember right. So obviously that's a you lose your best two players, and then we lost Egan for the entire season pretty much. So the entire spine of the team was gone. And like I said, even now this team's worse than the team that came up, in my opinion.
I mean, I think for you and Burnley, you both had that, where you've ended up the only team that's improved from what it had coming up was Luton. That you and Burnley both got shafted when we discussed similar with Jack on Tuesday's podcast. Ricky, do you have any correspondents predicted Tottenham to finish top five this year?
Probably not that many, in all honesty. Based on last season, five?
None.
No. Oh, okay. So
Really?
I didn't fancy our chances either, then, clearly.
The danger for us is when all the correspondents get together and predict us to finish third. That's when it goes really bad, actually. Shows what most of them know. Hi, guys. Hope you're well. Not a single correspondent predicted Tottenham to finish in the top five. Only five went for sixth.
So we've exceeded everyone's expectations then.
Well, from the neutrals perspective, yes.
And well, certainly from mine as well, and I know from yours. So, as I
And
sort of
we're not the only club that's done that. I mean, no one predicted Villa to finish top four, for example, as well, right?
Yeah, so, that one I can believe, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys thought, man, in fact, nearly all of the guys, in fact, I'm going to take that back, all of the guys predicted Manchester United to finish in the top four. So when you get these correspondent predictions in August, don't take too much notice of it.
You need new correspondence, mate, because we know fuck all.
Well, I'll happily accept resignation letters. But there is something in that, isn't it? Because of what you said, it's disappointing the way sort of the last 2 months or so have gone for Tottenham.
Yeah.
But when you break it all down, like, it's been fine, isn't it? If we'd have started like this and finished like we started, we'd be over the moon, wouldn't we?
Well, exactly, yeah. The finish... Oh, thank you, wife. The finish...
Couldn't have a COTC with you without your wife making an appearance.
What was it you said about just being married?
Oh, hello. Are you not going to get a kiss this time?
No. Apologies to those under your audio. That is the current Mrs. Saunders. what was I saying? Yeah, no, it's a very different narrative to end the season, because if you'd have flipped it, then there'd be the media would be raving about us. You know, we're contenders for next year. We're this, we're that. But the narrative is completely switched. You know, it's same old Tottenham. You know, Spursy, blah blah blah. And we're going to be not written off, but there's not going to be much expectation from the general public and media going into next year. Obviously, that depends on incomings and outgoings, of which Ange says there's still going to be a lot of. But yeah, there's not going to be, as of now, there won't be a lot of positivity about our chances of doing something next year.
So, which is blinding, right, isn't it? Because the correspondents ain't going to predict us to finish top four again.
Absolutely, yeah. So we might just go even one better.
What do we make of this Ange presser on Tuesday night, mate? And the reaction to fragile Tottenham was, well, he didn't use fragile Tottenham, but he said that the club was fragile. He said he had problems on the outside, the inside, everywhere.
Yeah.
From that?
You can analyse that in several different ways. He was obviously really annoyed about the fan base, or elements of the fan base, I should say. And we'll come on to that, I've got no doubt as well. Especially some numpty behind him instructed him to throw the game. He is a winner. He wants to win. He won't accept second best and second place. So he was never going to set out to lose. And I love that. You know, so much passion. I'm really intrigued by... he said about the foundations of the club, and my first thought, as it probably was for a lot of Tottenham fans, was that Levy's told him there's no money left. But he then went on to say afterwards that there will be incomings, we are going to spend money. So that led me to believe, no, that's not the case, because I don't think Ange is the kind of person to play the media for. If he's been told something, he's gonna at least make reference to it. So I don't think it was that. I think it's knowing what his character, his winning mentality, to have a fan base where elements of it actually want you to lose a game. How do you reconcile that? How do you?
But that doesn't that doesn't explain the if the outside is the fans. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
don't explain the inside and the everywhere, does it?
Well, we could still point fingers at Levy, although I'm still believing that's not the case because of his comments about transfers. Maybe there's some players that just weren't showing it in training.
But this is what I'd said on our Patreon pod. It was like, when you reflected on it, was there anything in the team selection or even the way that the players played on Tuesday where you could go, well, that was strange, or he's been taking out the team. Because, all right, Kulusevski didn't start, but he obviously had a tactical idea of what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Kulusevski was well involved when he came on. He was used in this false nine position. There wasn't anything, he wasn't a name missing. You thought, this is strange. The Athletic have reported, I think particularly Jack Pitbrook, who's well connected with Tottenham, and Charlie Eccleshire as well, have reported that one of the things that apparently has really set Ange off was a few staff members suggesting to him that he should play the youth team ahead of the game, to throw the game. Now, staff members, when I read that, oh my God, what has Ryan Mason done? Was my first instinct. as a proper Tottenham boy and stuff, as one of the coach, you know, he's gone to Ange, play the youth team, and Ange just shot it. Like, that's not funny. But I think staff members could be people in the kitchen or something, right?
It could be
yeah.
kit people, could be the groundsman. It could be literally
Exactly.
anybody. And I did hear Charlie Equishere say that this morning. I listened to View from the Lane. Because it's always good to get some not inside opinions, but people that are obviously closer connected to the club than I am. And yeah, he did say that. I'm not saying it's incorrect. I don't know if that would it'd be something that Andrew would necessarily reference in his presser.
Well, if he wants to change the culture of the club, that's the whole club, isn't it?
Top to bottom. Yeah, it's not just the playing staff or the coaching staff. It's everybody. You know, I mean, Brian Clough was, you know, famous for, you know, having the tea lady on the side and things like that. You know, he might feel the same. You know, he wants his people in and around that club, or at least good influences. So, yeah, maybe some more than player outgoings that we see in the summer, of which I'm sure there's going to be quite a few of as well.
We understand why Ange wanted to win so much, don't we?
Of course, he's a winner. He doesn't want to. He hasn't come down there to lose football matches. He's wherever he's been, he's won. But we could all admit
that went for Mourinho
won,
and Conte as well, Ricky.
Well, yeah, but they're different people, mate. They're mercenaries. Well, we know what they are. But no, I think he's come down here. Yeah, he's got loads of trophies, as he reminded someone else in the press earlier in the season. But he hasn't won them in big leagues. He's won them for big clubs, but not for big leagues. And he's got, you know, first Premier League managerial position, first time in a top five league. He's got a lot to prove, to maybe, you know, maybe only to himself, but to elements of the media as well, and other fan bases. He's seen as not as good a manager as what we know that he is. And he's just got, I think he's just got a point to prove, and he doesn't want to prove it by throwing games. He doesn't. I mean, you said it yesterday. He doesn't understand the Tottenham Arsenal rivalry. He doesn't fully get it. He's probably starting to, but he doesn't really know what it means to us.
Tottenham essentially have three rivalries, really. There's obviously the big one with Arsenal. Yeah. 1 point taken. But when you throw in, I think there's obviously rivalries with West Ham and Chelsea as well through locality. It's 2 points from them, six games. So maybe he does need to get it. That's the problem, isn't it?
And you'd think that he'd have half an idea, because there is no bigger derby than Celtic Rangers. And he's played in, nine, probably with cup games. We're talking like 12, 13 of those derbies. So he knows what the atmosphere is like and, you know, what a must-win game it is. I don't know, maybe he doesn't rate the North London derby as much. Maybe it's not as passionate, I don't know.
Listen, I don't expect him to get it like me and you, because we'll still be going and there'll be a different manager in charge, right? So he doesn't have to. I think he does have to understand the importance. Does he have to understand the importance not to want to win a game of football? No. That's absolutely fine. I get all of that.
Yeah.
Don't be telling people how to feel, though. How did you feel Tuesday night?
I'll make a very brief statement.
Do you need to speak to your lawyer first or anything?
No, I don't, mate. I don't. People may want to speak to my lawyer afterwards. To all the Tottenham fans out there who were singing Blue Moon and who wanted youth sides and who wanted us to throw the game, you can suck all the dicks. I do not hate Arsenal more than I love my club. And I want what is best for my club. And if you don't want what's best for my club, then go and find another club to support. Enfield Town are doing all right there in Europe. Go and support them. It's disgusting, mate. This is your club. You don't want your team to lose because it affects somebody else. Absolutely not.
As I said on Tottenham, I thought all the... I mean, and there wasn't any singing, by the way, by Tottenham fans inside the stadium. There was some outside and there was one dick in the toilets. There was one dick in the toilet. There was loads of dicks in the toilets, actually. Jesus. There was one strange character walked into one of the toilets, started singing Blue Moon just before kickoff and stuff. But actually inside the stadium, bowl while the game was going on, no, you couldn't hear any of that. You must understand the confliction that people felt, though, Ricky.
I do understand it, but once again, this is progress for my club. Look, if Arsenal win the title, they've won it because they're the best team. Or if City win it, they've won it because they're the best team. But what Arsenal do or don't do, I can't influence, I can't control. I just want what's best for my football club. And what's best for my football club is winning games of football and getting as many points as we can and getting as high up the table as we can. That's what I'm interested in.
No, fair, mate. Any doubts on Ange moving forward?
No, there's no doubt. Look, last time we spoke, we were talking about our frustrations at a lack of, or not a lack of, but an unwillingness to change a system, even when things weren't going our way. He sticks to the game plan, sticks to the game plan. And we saw something very different on Tuesday night. It is Tuesday night, wasn't it? Yeah. Saw something very different. I don't know what, I mean, what well, he had a game plan to compete against City, and it worked. We had more possession. We had four big chances. You know, in any other game that we could have won that. So yeah, he's I don't know why he's pulled it out now in particular, but he's obviously been working on something in training more than what we've seen for the other 36 games that we've played this season. So yeah, I've got a little bit more hope now than what I had before the game, because we have got other strings to our bow, other ways to play. And else has he been working on training that we haven't seen yet? You know, well, the whole bag of tricks he's got up his sleeve.
I have said one of my frustrations is exactly that, but I also thought that it would come and evolve into other things at certain stages.
Yeah.
He just wanted to keep drilling plan A. I think maybe this, where he's ended up with Van de Ven at left back, and then obviously Richarlison's unavailability again has kind of forced and Maddison's form a little bit as well, forced this rethink. But listen, that structure the other night was really good to threaten City, as I covered on the podcast yesterday. Tomo, what do you make of Ange and Ange's Tottenham?
I really enjoyed watching Tottenham this year. Even on Tuesday, I thought you guys played really well. I thought you were a better team, to be honest, over 90 minutes. I think both our teams have been fun to watch as a neutral this year. There's been lots of goals in all the games. But no, I mean, I think you've took a big step forward. I mean, I know maybe end of the season's changed, but losing Kane and finishing where you are, I think he needs a lot of credit there, in my opinion.
That's part of the problem, weren't it, Ricky? We started so well, everyone forgot Harry Kane straight away. And it's like, he had neutrals now. And it's like, you lost all them goals and that great player last year. And yet still it's improved.
Yeah.
And lost it when the day before the season started, basically, yeah. As well.
And you know, a lot of people were, you know, where are the goals going to come from? You let all of those goals and assists walk out your team, where they're going to come from. And we scored, I think it's more goals now. It's about equals to what we got last year. But yeah, we're just as many. We haven't lost the goals from the team. Just other people have stepped up. But to lose your best player, your captain, no, he wasn't. No, Hugo was still captain at that point, wasn't he? But your best player and captain elect on the eve of the season, and then to start how we did, we were absolute steam train at the start. You forgot you even existed.
What do you want next, Ricky?
Just more of the same. We've got a lot of, I won't say shit at the club, but we've got a lot of fringe players that get a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. We need to have a cleanse of that squad now. The squad, although it's not a big squad, it is a big squad, if that makes any sense.
If they're all fit, it's a big squad.
If everyone's fit, it's a big squad. But we've got lots of hanger-ons. Unfortunately, we haven't got a lot of players that are worth a lot of money or that are going to take a lot off the wage bill. So we're not going to be sat on piles of cash. But yeah, trim that squad down, bring in some quality, target some specific areas, and start bringing on some of the youth. We've got a really, really good under-21 team, even a good under-18 team, that we can start integrating them into the squad. That's what I'd like to see. Mikey, what was great to see him get some minutes. He's been on the bench for the last few games, and I've been willing him to come on, and he's finally done that. And it's obviously far too early for him to be a regular start or even a regular sub, but just start integrating some of them youth players. They've been at Tottenham for a long time. They know what it's about, and get them in the side. And it's worked in the past. We've brought on youth players before, and they've just ended up staying in the team.
One of the remarkable aspects of Tottenham's season, I think, when you sit down and you reflect on it, and you think of Tottenham's best players this season. Essentially, the choices for Tottenham's player of the year this year were all defensive players.
Yeah.
the goalkeeper, the two fullbacks, and the two centre backs for me would have been the only contenders. And I put Son's goals and stuff, but not having it. I've said that I'd be almost happy if any of the attacking players, bar the very young ones, moved on. Wouldn't have a problem with it. Who from the midfielders and the attacking areas do you specifically are non-negotiable in terms of going to be a part of this team, perhaps not even just next year, but even into the year after?
Perhaps so. Definitely. I want to keep hold of him. Bentancur, he hasn't been quite the same since he came back from injury, but we don't know how much that injury's taken out of him. I think give him a rest. I think he's a top player. I like Brennan Johnson. I know we've talked about him, and I know your feelings on him, but he's growing on me, and he's growing.
He's growing on me, mate. Although I don't think he's played well the last few.
No, but I think there's a player in there, and I really like Kulusevski as well. And I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. Once again, he hasn't captured the form that he had when he first broke into the side. I wouldn't say it's a non-negotiable, but I'd rather he stayed than left. But in all honesty, all of the others. And that includes Madison and Son.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the elephant there. So let's get to it. What does that look like for you? Son is coming into the same situation as Mo Salah, right? He's out of contract next year. It was like an assumption, certainly in terms of humouring Son, that something's going to get signed in the next couple of weeks or so. If it doesn't, that's a sell, isn't it?
It's got to be. He will end up going to Saudi or MLS, somewhere like that, when his contract expires. Because let's be honest, we love him. He's been fantastic for the club, one of our greatest ever players. But we're now seeing the end game as far as his top level career goes. If he doesn't get extended this summer, he's not going to get extended at any point next year, and he'll walk away for free. We've seen far too many, good players walk out for nothing or for minimal money. So if there's no contract signed by the start of the season, he's got to go.
James Maddison.
He started off really, really well. Once again, injuries. I don't know if he's fully recovered. I've got a feeling he's playing with a knock still or playing injured. I would rather see him stay and get another year. Once again, get some rest, because he's not going to go. Well,
he's not going to go anywhere now, Ricky,
no,
is he?
No. So he's going to get a full close season rest. Let him recover and recuperate, and let's go again with him next year. If it's the same, and if he's got a 5-year contract, so at that point he's still got 3 years left. Let's cut our losses.
Bissouma.
He's disappointed ever since probably the Luton game. Ever since then, he's disappointed, and he hasn't been. And I don't even think it's injuries with him. He went away to African Nations, so maybe that's something to do with it. But yeah, he's massively disappointed. Not the player that we all were willing Mourinho to bring on, and that we were so glad that Ange was starting. Not the same player at all. So yeah, he's another one that can exit.
Tomo, third world problems, yeah? Do you want Bissouma, Maddison and Son? I mean, what do you make of those comments of the neutral? Because Ricky's kind of half-echoing stuff that I've said as well, that there's frustration with some of these players. I do certainly think Madison's been carrying something. He's been better this week as well. And actually, Son on the left has been better recently as well. And Bissouma, prior to this most recent injury, had been playing a bit better as well to clarify all those things. But what do you think hearing that, Tomo?
I just think it's tough. Like, they had such a good start to the season, right? Madison and Son. Madison was good in the start of the season, but, he seems to get injured a lot, doesn't he? And he seems to struggle to play a full season. I don't know about the past, but he seems like a player that gets hot and cold pretty easily.
He said, in fairness, that the injury that he got this season was the worst of his career.
Okay. So, I don't know if you know a lot of times, right, with players, if they have these injuries that they have to play on. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, we've had all that, haven't we, Ricky? Like, some played injured all of last season, didn't they? And it was like, what wouldn't you stop for? So,
If he has said that that's his worst injury of his career, he came back way too early then, because he's been out for longer than this before when he was at Leicester.
Sure he has, Ricky. Not sure he has, actually.
No, you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it probably means he's been lucky that he's never had a very, very serious injury. Oh, yeah. He obviously did ankle ligament damage. Tomo, your lot, as you'd mentioned earlier, letting a load of players go on a free contract. We're pre-recording this on Thursday. The club announced today that Chris Basham obviously suffered that terrible injury at Fulham earlier this season. George Bulldog, Oliver Norwood, League One ways, sad. And Max Lowe will leave the club upon the expiry of their contracts this summer. Who have you got on loan at the moment? James McAtee.
Brereton Diaz.
Is Larussi alone?
Yeah, I think he's alone, yep. That's it, I think.
So that's eight players. Presume, are you going to buy Diaz? Probably not, I'm going
to
guess.
I would love to.
But you're probably not, I'm going to guess.
No, probably not. He's been good since he came. I think, you know, he's either going to go back to Villarreal or maybe one of these teams take a punt on him coming up.
Well, he's your top goal scorer.
Yeah,
so
he's been good.
He's probably done enough to, okay, yeah, you can do it at Premier League level. What's the situation with Cameron Archer as well? Does he go back to Villa now?
Automatically, yeah. So it ends up being like a £4 million loan fee. So it's all to do with FFP, right? Instead of it being a loan, we bought it to go back, but it sounds like Villa's going to sell him from what I read to whoever the highest bidder is. But he's been very disappointing this season.
Echoes of Rian Brewster.
I don't think to that extent. I mean, he's not had the service, right? But yeah, I think him and McAtee were the wrong two players. We should have got Doyle over McAtee. He just doesn't suit our style of play, and you can see that down the last few months since we changed formation and had Brereton Diaz and McBurnie up front. McAtee's not been playing. He's a fantastic player, but he needs to be in a team that attacks instead of defending.
Yeah, I feel like probably he's been a bit disappointing as well.
Yeah.
It's a lovely little player, but I think we expected a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And I really feel like we should have got Doyle, and I've seen him play for Wolves, and he was good. Exactly what we needed. Yeah. Exactly what we needed.
So you've got across there, if my numbers are right, that's nine players leaving.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to save some on the wage bill here, as you'd mentioned earlier. But that's nine players leaving with no income into the football club. You were already in a weaker position than the team that got promoted. Like, what are you left with? I think this is part of the concern, isn't it?
Yeah, so Bogle, Osborne and Norrington Davis all got their extra years extended. So now it's McBurnie, Jebison and Egan are the three that we're waiting for. It sounds like McBurnie and Jebison's had a contract in front of them for a while and not signing. There's rumours that McBurnie's going to go to Rangers. I've seen a few. And I don't know how bad Egan's been out since like...
But long didn't know time. Egan and Basham's experience both missing the majority of the season was bad for you.
Egan's big blow for us. I mean, he played every game in 2 years, well, 4 years, really. Didn't miss a game. And you can tell set pieces wise, they were horrendous set pieces.
Oh, don't worry, we're boxes. Really good at them.
Are you going to be keeping Mason Holgate or sending him back?
He's the one on loan.
Oh, shit. I forgot about good old Mason Holgate. Was he that average 0 points per appearance in FPL? Or so, isn't he, Mason Holgate?
Yeah, I think he's had 0 points in FPL and then he's had two debuts this year, both lost 5-0.
Oh, but that is just a magnificent start, isn't it? Two debuts in the same season and lost 5-0 in both of them. That is magnificent. So that's 10, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think we've got no goalkeeper. I don't think we have any goalkeeper. We've let all the goalkeepers. Well, sorry, we've got Gerbich.
I was going to ask you about this. I heard Gerbich, he got taken out the team because he was getting booed? That's the rumor I heard.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
He was so bad.
And Vinicius Souza was getting stick as well.
Oh, yeah. He made a comment that if he was playing for a better team, he would get in the Brazil squad. If he played a team that kept the ball, he would get into Brazil team or something. So that didn't go down very well.
No, it won't do. I mean, I suppose at least that's one where you'll get your probably investment back, I suppose.
Yeah, I think statistically it looks all right. So I'm sure, hopefully some European club will buy him on his stats.
I've seen some big clubs linked with him, actually.
AC Milan, I think, wasn't it?
who have also been linked with Emerson Royal. So, you know, our friend, yeah, one of our patrons, FPL Knuckles, is an AC Milan fan. Good luck next season, pal. Good luck with that. Some questionable interest of players there, perhaps. Yeah. That felt like a coup when you got him, Souza. We'd heard like tackle monster and stuff, but I mean, he's not even been selected half the time, has he?
Apparently, we chose to buy him over Doyle.
Over who?
On the street. Over Doyle.
Okay.
Yeah, big mistake. Because Doyle already played with us and already wanted to come.
Wolves are going to end up paying, it's 4 million for Doyle.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's due to the to Nunez deal, right? I think they gave him a discount on the back end. So
yeah, I think
we paid around 10 for Susan. I think that was kind of in the same similar ballpark what they wanted for Doyle. So a lot of Blades fans aren't happy with that. So Anel's leaving. I think he's already said he wants to leave. I'm Altsich, so he's going to go. I think someone will pay a decent money for him.
So you're left with a goalkeeper you don't want, Jack Robinson.
Yep.
Are you saying McBurney's out of contract and we don't know at this stage?
I think we've offered him one and he hasn't decided if he's going to sign it.
But all right, other than these one or two players who they're still unsure of contract-wise, you're basically left with, and some good youngsters like Oliver Arblaster and Andre Brooks and stuff. But there ain't a lot left, mate.
Yeah, yeah. So Egan's a big one. So we got Robinson, Egan, we'll see after the injury. We got Bogle. We've got a couple of left back. We've got Osborne and Norrington Davis. Arbas, him is the big one, right? And I think he's been our one bright spot, very good player. I'd be shocked if one of these promoted teams or one of these teams in the bottom half doesn't go for him. I think he's a good player.
The thing is, though, if you get decent offer for him, what did you pay for him? 15 or so, was it?
15, yeah.
Yeah. If you get a decent offer for him, which hopefully will be a little bit upwards on that, I think.
Yeah, I think 20, 25, something like that.
Because of the rebuild you need to do here, it almost feels like you've got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you got to do it. So,
it almost feels like you need the opposite of like when Forest come up, when Forest fans say, we needed a whole new team and stuff.
Yeah.
You've gone down and you need a whole new team. It's how it looks on the outside.
Yeah, pretty much. And maybe we should, next time, maybe we should cheat a bit more. Maybe we'll have a better chance. I think it's the way
Harry,
to go,
I know you need help, but Daddy's in the middle of a podcast and that's making it really, really awkward for me. Can you try and get your mother? Would be really useful at this point. Just leave it and go back to mummy. He's walked in here, right? Past my barricade and he's walked into the iron and now he's holding the iron up. He's sorted it out. Just die quietly.
Just give him a couple of t-shirts and
a couple of t-shirts.
Yeah, ignore them.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to give my child an iron, mate. God. Right, let's talk a bit of FPL. First question, Tomo, what do you expect from this game?
So there's going to be a bit of a send-off, right, for all these players. So your Baldocks, you know, was your Bashams. There's rumours that Sharp's going to come back because he really didn't get a send-off as well. He was in the away end on Everton. So I think there's going to be a bit of a, you know. So I think they're going to give it a go. Again, we'll probably be all right for 60 minutes and then just fall apart. So I'm expecting a bucket full of goals.
In both ends or in just one end?
I mean, both ends.
Ricky, same question.
There will be goals. We've got a quite a good goal scoring record on final days in recent years.
That's why you're here, mate. The reason Ricky's here, I was messaging with you last week and you were like, have I got to do this? And I was like, yes, because for the last three seasons, you've come on the podcast prior to game week 38 and we scored 4, 5, and 4. So, yeah, that's why you're here. Sorry, Tom. This streak will continue until you probably beat us on Sunday, mate.
And if you go back even further than that, I think it was Palace, we got one. Everton, but it was two, and then before that it was five against Leicester and seven against Hull. So final days produced a lot of goals for us. And that I think that Leicester was 5-4 as well.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that game was chaos, absolute chaos. So, yeah, look, goals. We've got, I think, Ange is a bit pissed off at the moment. He's got some statements to make, as I'm sure some of the players. Because, look, let's be honest, some of these players are potentially playing for their Tottenham careers next year. So there's a few of them that's going to want to make a statement as well.
But with respect, is anything they do against the team that's bottom of the league going to make a difference to that?
No, not in theory. I think Ange is the kind of character he is. He's already made up his mind who he wants and who he doesn't. They may not know that, though. So they may still think there's a chance. I don't think we're going to see... We might see a couple more kids on the bench. I don't think we're going to see any surprises in the lineup. But yeah, there'll be some goals, definitely. And but yeah, both ends, because we can't defend.
What do you expect strategy wise? Because as we said, obviously Tuesday night was different. What are you expecting here? The same, or like Kulusevski comes back in and Son goes through the middle, or Johnson through the middle? What's your thinking?
I think it will revert back to our normal. I think he played that for City to try and nullify them, and it worked in large parts. But I think I'd like to see Johnson through the middle, if anyone.
I'd like to see Schneider now as well.
Yeah. But no, I think it's the same. Hopefully, what I'd like to see him do, or what I hope he does do, let's go and win the game early, or at least get a couple of goals, and then we can start introducing the kids that I think will be on the bench and give them some proper game time.
It'd be nice. But I don't think we've got the right to think that far ahead. And Tomo's saying, look, it's probably the folding comes right at the end, Tomo, right?
Yeah,
it's like once you go behind, like Forest, your last home game, a great example. I think nearly every Forest fan will tell you, you could have been a couple up at halftime.
Should have been. I think there's been quite a lot of games recently where we've been 60, 65 minutes the better team, and should have been Burnley. We should have been 4-0 up at Burnley before that, and we lost that 4-1. Forest, we could have been a few goals up. We had a lot of chances, and then we just, it's just, we have, the bench is just so, so poor. It's below average Championship players. So even Newcastle game, when we play Newcastle, we're the better team first half.
You had good chances, you're absolutely right.
Chelsea.
At St. James's.
Yeah, we've done all right. We've done all right.
But then by the end of it, you got smashed, right? It's reality, unfortunately.
Yep. Fold up chair, deck chair. And I think that might be something similar on Sunday. I think we'll be in the first half, maybe start second half. I think there could be a 2-2 half time, and then it could be a 7-3.
Okay, interesting. I mean, because after time, and listen, that was different on Tuesday night, Ricky, but after time, we don't show up till second half.
Yeah.
I feel like most games should turn up at 4 o'clock. Unfortunately, this one kicks off at 4 o'clock, so I might turn up at five.
Yeah, just get to the ground at the same time, have a couple of leisurely points instead, and make your way to your seat for 4 o'clock.
Okay, or 5 o'clock in this case.
Yeah.
2:30 deadline on Sunday, by the way. Don't forget it, guys. It's dentist o'clock, so you can't forget it. Who do you think will start in the nine position then, Ricky? Son, Kulusevski or Johnson?
It'd probably be Son, but I hope it's Johnson.
Okay. Someone comes to you and says, I want to captain Heung-min Son this week.
No, there's too many other good options, and he hasn't been good enough. He was better, don't get me wrong.
Are we not sitting here saying this could be mental?
Oh, it could be.
Tomo nodded very vociferously for the benefit of those on the audio. It's like, you're going to get loads.
Yeah, it could be, but I just don't have that much faith in Son to score goals at the moment.
It's not like he can't go off, though. Yeah,
he can go and get 3 or 4. Absolutely, we know this.
If Tottenham got 5 on Sunday, hypothetically, as happened at Norwich a couple of years ago, what sort of goal involvement do you expect from Sané?
Goal and a couple of assists, or the other way around, a couple of goals and an assist.
Well, that's enough to be going in, isn't it? If people want to, for people who are chasing from a captaincy perspective, I know it's easy to go, Haaland or whatever, but it'd be people going, oh, I need to catch this guy, and he's definitely going to captain Haaland who am I looking at? Alternative. Son's got to be in the bracket there, isn't he? For that.
He's in the conversation 100%. I'm in that position. I'm a long way off my rival. I'm off about 35, 40 points. So I'm not gonna catch him unless something amazing happens. But I will not be captain in Haaland. It might be Son, it might be Palmer, or it might be a player that I don't own at the moment who just happens to play for Crystal Palace.
Okay. That's nice. So if someone said to you, Michael Olise or Brennan Johnson?
Olise, yeah.
So Crystal Palace are playing the team that's just qualified for the Champions League. Brennan Johnson's playing the team that's bottom of the league.
Yeah, but Villa are pissed. They're still pissed. They're still drinking now. But
Tomo, I'm sorry, mate. You've been pissed all season,
right? Yeah. We have. Brennan Johnson likes to score against us too, by the way, from that whole Forest season. It's a bit of a, he got a lot of stick again from us. So if I don't own Brennan Johnson, I got two Tottenham and then Son. I think I'm pretty much going to captain Son at this point. I'm 16 points behind guy in the middle league. So I think I'm going to go to Son.
What's your alternatives for captaincy under that circumstance, Tomo?
Haaland.
but you don't want to because you just said, right?
Yeah, Palmer, I guess. De Bruyne, but that's not gone well last 2 weeks.
Fitness concern at this moment as well, time recording. Son's definitely in the category because if Tottenham did go off and go ape on Sunday, it's not. What I mean is, Ricky, let's just say we did get five, it would be staggering if he wasn't involved, right?
He'll be involved somewhere.
Whereas, like, say with Arsenal this year, I think there's three games where Arsenal won 5-0 and Saka's had, like, an assist, a blank, an assist. You couldn't foresee that with Son under that sort of circumstance, could you?
If there's goals, he'll be involved in them, absolutely.
Okay. If someone did want to look at one of the midfielders as a differential punt within sort of Johnson, Kulusevski, is it Johnson over Kulusevski for you or not?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, Kulusevski was a real threat the other night, but we don't know if Ange is going to play the same way against City, and if he does, then that means Kulusevski is coming off the bench. And he's not an impact player in that sense of goals and assists. He will change games, but not getting you points. So,
He does have a history of the majority of his hauls, though, have been away from home.
Yeah.
He's got a history of that.
The anti-Gordon.
Yeah.
It starts, mate. He's not guaranteed to start. I think if you're going to captain someone, you must be certain they're going to start a game of football.
Okay. Tomo, what if we threw Ben Brereton Diaz into that conversation as well with Johnson and Kulusevski?
Okay,
that's pretty. I don't know if he's even going to describe Tomo's face to the audio because they could hear the joy in the sound of your voice and what your hopes were.
I won't be surprised if he doesn't play though, because he's not going to be in next year. So does he play a half a game, 60 minutes? Does he put a Sula on? I don't know.
He's done enough to play, isn't he? I mean, well, so is McBurnie fit?
No, he's out.
Right. So Archer's going to go. Diaz is going to go. You said Jefferson's out of contract. Someone's got to play, mate.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question on Diaz playing. I think
he'll start, but I don't know how long he's going to play. It could take him off at halftime or 50 minutes. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Ricky, a comparison one for you. You got any Tottenham defensive?
Yeah, I've still got Porro.
Porro, Tomo, you got any?
Porro and Van de Ven.
You got two?
Player. Yeah, okay. I'm starting them both.
Well, that answers my question then. Over who, just out of interest?
I've got Gabriel. I've got Byrne and Tarkowski.
And Gabriel.
Yeah, so I'm starting Gabriel and two Spurs right now. So it's Byrne or Van de Ven. I don't know.
It's probably the right decision. What's your dilemma here, Ricky?
Well, there isn't a dilemma, really. I've got Dalot and Byrne on the bench, and I'm playing Walker, Porro, Cucurella.
Okay, so we're quite clear on playing Tottenham defensive players over Newcastle then, seems to be the feeling, yeah. Even if it's for an attacking perspective as much as a defensive one.
Look, Sheffield United, for all their defensive frailty, they do score a goal. So I'm not expecting clean sheets. But Porro, I mean, he's so far up the pitch. He's going to absolutely explode one day. And it could just well be Sunday.
If you had to... Go on, Thomas, sorry.
No, I thought about it. Honestly, I thought about Porro captain.
There's worse shots.
Feel like he used the goal up last week, didn't he? I'd be a bit more tempted if he hadn't, maybe.
What a finish that was, though.
Goalkeeper questionable a little bit. He takes a step to his right just as he goes to hit it, but he's got a shot on him. I'd said it in the build up to it as well, because he'd scored the great goal against him in the cup. If he had a sighter, he wouldn't think twice about it, and that wasn't the only effort he had in the game. We've not quite had the mega haul from him yet, though.
No.
The problem is, never going to fucking clean sheet with the goals, so you're never going to get that mega haul, unfortunately. You need two attacking returns. What if, Ricky, you had to pick between Porro and Cucurella?
I probably would go with Cucurella just because of Chelsea's form. They're making clean sheets. No, do you know what? Fuck it. Last day, Porro, let's have it.
I've got both.
A bit of excitement.
I've got both, and I'll be picking Porro.
Yeah.
But what if it was Petrovic and Vicario?
It would be Petrovic.
Trink.
Yeah, they've got more chance of a clean sheet than we have, I think.
Is that right, Tomo?
Yeah, I would agree with that. We score goals. We might only get one or two, but we create a lot of chances.
Okay.
Okay. I definitely think we'll give a penalty away, at least one. We're good at giving penalties away, so that's kind of why I was leaning towards.
Okay. Yeah, well, Sonny will be on them. With Richarlison unavailable, there's zero doubt about that, and I'm pretty sure it would have been Son anyway. Okay, interesting. Guys, let's finish this with... I feel like this is going to be wild. Correct score prediction, Tomo.
7-3 Spurs.
Son's captain, no doubt about it.
Just go for it. Just tee off the cherry on top of the season.
Can I just say, I don't think that's that stupid, Ricky. Go on, Rick.
I'm not quite going to go like I'm 3-2 Tottenham. There's goals, but I don't know if there's 10 of them in the game, but there's a few.
I said yesterday that my feeling that we would smash them has waned a little bit. There was obviously a scenario where it was looking at one point, we might have to go and beat you like 5-6-0, Tomo. And it was a little bit of me thinking, well, that'll be a fun afternoon out till we're sitting there at halftime and we're 2-0 down and realise that we're not going to win 8-2 probably. But before the game Tuesday night, the score I had in my head was 5-2 to Tottenham. I don't feel that strongly about it now, though. And by the way, if anyone's thinking, well, why aren't you going to captain Son then? I think Man City might get 5 as well, by the way. And I think Arsenal won't be far off that either. And I don't think Liverpool will be far off that. I think there could be some slackings this weekend. I'd probably lean more now on sort of like 3-1 or something, I think, now. I'll think about it. I might change my mind for certain streams later this week. Guys, thank you both so much. Tomo, especially wish you the very best of luck next season, mate. Always having a pleasure. Always a pleasure having you around, mate. Anything you want to plug before we finish?
Just FBL_Blade on Twitter. Should be fun on Sunday.
Your ranting's calmed down, isn't it?
It's hard to care too much anymore. I better start drinking earlier.
Day one, the next season in the Championship. Look out for F-bombs from Tomo at FBL_Blade. Ricky, anything you want to plug, mate?
Just Patreon, mate. You're probably listening. If you're listening to this, you probably are a patron anyway. But it's
that's presumptuous and also not true.
Well, no, probably. Lots of Euro content, and is it free at the moment, James? Is that right? Sign up for free.
We'll do July free.
There you go.
We'll keep doing content during the summer, during the Euros and stuff. And as I said on the main pods on Thursday, the Tottenham from Wednesday, if people want to listen to that, which is kind of all about the build up to Tuesday night, how it was in the stadium, emotions afterwards, etc., etc. That's available to all patrons, even free patrons. You can actually sign up as a patron and not pay any money. You can do that and you'll have access to that one particular podcast if anybody's interested as well. Guys, thank you both so much. There will be one more Clash of Correspondents for you. That is most likely to be next Friday as well, before the FA Cup final with Manchester City and Manchester United with Johnny Pringle and Gary Robinson. Just leaves me to say thank you, Tomo. Thank you, Ricky. Say it, please, pal.
Come on, Tottenham.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.